Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the LeadX Leadership Show. I'm Kevin Cruz, and today we've got an interview as part of our hashtag Scaling Leadership series. Today, I'm going to interview Kimberly Currier, who's the Senior Vice President of the People Team at North Highland. Now, they are a global consulting company, but with a local model. Instead of having their consultants travel Monday through Thursday, like most do, they try to employ consultants in local offices who don't have to travel as much and can really deepen their relationships with those local clients. Obviously, we are leadership junkies because we know leadership is influence. Leadership drives engagement. That's what this is all about. And Kimberly Currier is going to describe for us how she's built the leadership development program for their mid-size consulting firm. Enjoy the episode. Kimberly, welcome to the LeadX Leadership Show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So we were joking before we were recording because it's taken us several attempts with our schedules to get this in place, and we both have some patience and tenacity. So I know this is gonna be good. But let's just start at the very beginning. You know, for our listeners who aren't familiar yet with North Highland, in your own words, tell us a little bit about the company.
Yeah, happy to. North Highland is a mid-sized management consulting firm. We have about 20 offices here in the United States, and it's our second largest office is based in London. And we have partners worldwide, so we really consider ourselves a worldwide consulting company. And we like to think of ourselves as disruptors in the market. We are not one of the big consulting companies, but we can do a large span of work and often come in a little bit more affordable, or our team is a little bit easier integrated, or we are a little bit more agile and nimble with our clients, and we build really long-lasting client relationships. Really consider relationships as one of our key components. The other thing that we really set us apart is our ability and focus on building capability within the client. So really trying to help all of our clients do the work for themselves so that they can learn from their partnership with us. And we found that over the last 22 years, that's been a really effective model.
Kimberly, that's like shocking to all the consultants out there. I thought the model was you go in and when you're almost done with the project, you need to find new problems to solve.
Yeah, well, we try to teach our folks how to fish, so to speak, and then hopefully they hire us for the next problem they're trying to sort out themselves. So that seems to be our working model, and we're really proud of our long-term client partnerships that we've had for really many, many years.
So you mentioned 20 offices. Roughly how many employees do you have worldwide?
Worldwide, we have around 7,000 employees. Wow. But North Highland specific, that's really under our banner of North Highland, is around 1,100 people.
That's great. So how many managers, people managers would be in your world with that number?
Probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 250 to 300 people managers. And that could be someone who's managing a pretty large scope, a big piece of our business and the people associated with it. And it could mean someone who's managing one person. We also have a group of people who aren't technically people managers, but are project managers and are managing people on projects on a day-to-day basis. And so we count those in our numbers. Because we really think that's part of our linchpin or part of our success model is having really strong project-based leadership and project-based management, not just someone who's giving me feedback on my overall performance, but someone who's helping me grow and learn day to day.
Yeah, and not to jump all the way into that process, but I mean, that's such an important role, and that's hard, right? Like you're leading people on a project, even if you might not have authority over all of those people, you still need them to be engaged. You still need them giving that effort, but you don't have that authority lever to pull.
That's right. Yeah. We call it embracing the matrix. So how can you align to the project and the client's goals and the client's needs and get clarity around what each of you is doing on a day-to-day basis so you can move forward? And it does create an opportunity to grow a lot of influence skills but also creates an opportunity to really come together as a team early in the project and map it out together. And then the project lead becomes the person who kind of makes sure, is the steward, if you will, of that plan at the front end and makes the adjustments as we need to.
That's great. And Kimberly, before we started the interview, you know, I read your bio, but again, in your own words, tell us a little bit about your current role and share kind of how'd you get there? What's your career arc been like?
Yeah, absolutely. So my role is the Senior Vice President for People Strategy, which is essentially the head of HR. And at North Highland, HR includes everything traditional HR, including talent management and leadership development and all that stuff. It excludes talent attraction. So talent attraction does not fall under my role at North Highland. But everything else in the end-to-end human process, from onboarding to exiting. And
you got the good stuff, Kimberly. That's the fun stuff.
I agree. I think I've lucked out in that way for sure. And we have a really strong partnership with our talent attraction team, but we get to pick them up as they enter the door. My career arc has really been through the lens of talent management and talent development. Started in learning and grew up doing more strategic talent development and talent management roles. I actually came to North Highland as the head for talent management, and just over a year ago, was promoted to the role of SVP for people strategy. So I look at things definitely through a talent lens. Luckily, I have a really strong partner in my HR vice president who really understands the compliance and the tactical component of compensation, and she's helped me learn those parts of the business over the first year of my leadership, and have been able to really offer a little bit more strategic view to our talent development side as well. So it's been a good growth.
That's great. So, you know, I like to talk about, I mean, I'm a leadership junkie. I'm always fascinated by how do we create leaders or help people to fulfill their leadership potential. And, you know, in an organization of your size, I mean, let's start at the beginning. If an individual contributor were to be promoted and now becomes a people manager, or I guess a project manager and must, you know, influence people, what kind of things do you do to support them or train them for that role?
Yeah. As a management consulting firm, one of the most important things to our people is the ability to continuously learn and grow in their skill set, whether it be from a client management perspective or through a expertise perspective. And so if someone's transitioning into a manager role here we call them coaches, the first thing we really do, or even before they become a coach, is encourage them to begin our coaching program. We call it enabling high performance. And it's a 2-day program where the first day is really spent diving into a particular coaching model. We partner with Inside Out Development and have partnered with them for years. On introducing a really basic coaching model that gives people shared language, shared structure, and shared process by which you can set goals, give feedback, have corrective discussions, getting people back on track. And then the second day is really focused on what do you tactically need to know, what do you tactically need to do to be a manager here at North Highland. So that's really more around process and systems and structure. So we like to give them both the skill set with which to learn a new skill and really grow their coaching and coaching for performance perspective, as well as making sure they have the right, you know, buttons to push and levers to pull.
So already you just hit, I'm like scribbling notes for people who are listening and can't see what I'm doing on this video. So you said you actually call them coaches, like that's their title or role, official role.
Yes, it is. Yeah. We have managers show up in lots of different ways. Sometimes you have someone who's managing your day-to-day on the client mm-hmm. site, like I mentioned before. And we certainly have people who manage your human resources processes, but we call them coaches in that most technical sense. And their coach's role is to help shepherd that person's performance throughout the year, to collect and collate and share the feedback that comes from the various projects, to help navigate and negotiate when people are ready for promotion or when people need some coaching for corrective action. who represent them at the annual processes, the annual review, and the mid-year check-ins. And that person is a coach for us.
I've always said that I wished that we could just make that one change where the word manager becomes replaced with coach, because without any additional training, I think it would immediately change people's behaviors or idea of what it means to be in that role. I always feel like I want to see a sales manager put down a business card that says sales coach, or an IT manager, say IT coach. And I've never met anyone or knew that any organization was actually doing that. So that's just fantastic. And you lead with a coaching model as part of their training.
I want to make sure that we're not dismissing the importance of management.
Sure, sure.
That's a critical part of any company's success, but it's when it's done in isolation, when anything, either one of those things is done in isolation, that the individual isn't benefiting from the full spectrum of what a coach or a manager can bring to them in terms of opportunity. And so we come at it a little bit differently.
Yeah. So at this point, when someone for the first time, becomes a coach, or maybe even an employee through onboarding, are you using any kind of, personality or behavior assessments, whether it's a personality assessment or a strengths finders or anything like that up to this point?
Yeah, our language at North Highland is the HBDI assessment. Everybody who comes into the organization is given their HBDI before they attend orientation, which is typically in their first 30 to 60 days, and they are taken through what that means. And most people, you walk around and you can see that they've got their HBDI profile up on their bulletin board or somewhere on their computer. People can often talk about what it means to be a blue thinker or have a preference for yellow thinking. And it's definitely part of who we are and what we do. We work really hard not to make, become labeling people, but we do approach many of our firm-wide communications trying to think from all four quadrants. Yeah. Or if we're looking at a project, we try to come at things from all four quadrants. And we use that language actively as part of what we do to try to make sure we're landing messages in the right way for as many audiences as we can.
Now, Kimberly, I'm just going to show off. I'm reaching off camera here because this is the book that's on my desk. So it's it's Ned Herman's whole brain business book, the textbook for that. HBDI is great. So yep. I assume you have as people move up through the organization and take on bigger and bigger leadership roles, you probably support them with other courses or other exercises or something. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So we have your standard corporate university, right? Online corporate university. And we have a lot of that curriculum is really focused on the capabilities or the expertise that we have within our firm. But we do have, we have established a leadership development curriculum, which is accessible to anybody. You don't have to be at a certain level or a certain role. And it's really an entry into leadership development mindset. Thinking about influence and lateral thinking and strategy and communications. And we like to think of people's growth here as managing self, managing others, managing things for the firm. And that's, really, really one of the ways we really think about that. So the leadership development curriculum is really open to anybody who wants to explore learning from a leadership perspective. We also have a video program with our partner Avenue that we roll out to segments of the population based on a particular topic that we're focused on. So we've done an inclusion rollout to all of our executives. Right now we're doing a rollout around strategy and influence within the firm for a larger swath of people. So we have stuff that we also push to certain segments of our population based on a learning priority or a program that we're running. Now, just 2 years ago, we stood up North Highland's first leadership development program, and that includes a program for our middle level folks that we call success makers. And we identify 30 to 35 high potentials about every 18 months to 20 months. and we enroll them in a program and a cohort program where they come together three separate times, and then they are given an action learning project at the end of their three gathers. And those three cohort meetings focus again on leading self, leading others, and leading the firm. So the first time we take them through a pretty comprehensive Korn Ferry 360 on the leadership capabilities there. We help them begin the path of building a personal vision and understanding what personal mastery is. I'm a huge fan of the center of Peter Senge and the fifth discipline. I really believe his foundations in leadership. We bring a lot of that through to our leadership development curriculum. And then we spend a lot of time on influence and your ability. We have a strong partnership with the Center for Creative Leadership, and we bring stuff in terms of resiliency and growth. And then we introduce a couple other, really tactical, like how does self-management help self-leadership programs. Second one, we begin to look at leading others. And so we think about, what is influence? How do I communicate and message things? How do I enroll other people into a shared vision? And then the third one, we typically visit a client and start thinking about how we lead business and how we lead, how we can help advance the business for our firm. And then we launch them into an action learning project. Those action learning projects are actually defined by our most senior group, our managing directors, and they're sponsored by our managing directors. Mm-hmm. And groups are broken up into 6 or 8 teams, and they're tackling a real business problem. And last year, we implemented bits and pieces, if not in entirety, every single one of the solutions that the teams brought forward. Wow. So it's a pretty active and really opportunity for them to engage with our most senior leadership, to contribute to real business challenges, and also get to learn a little bit about themselves and what they bring to the table.
So much good stuff there, including, this capstone project where they get to actually consult internally bond together, get exposure to the senior executives, have an impact. For the listeners and viewers, I do want to stress, though, again, I think it's really strong, this simple but effective model of thinking about competencies as like leading self, leading others, mm-hmm. and then leading the business or leading the function. And there's so many different competency models out there. And it's not that, there's one truth when it comes to competencies. Some organizations will have just a handful, and they might just call it like communicates effectively. Another one might have a whole lot of competencies, and they've broken communication into like, written communication, verbal, like it just depends on how you cut it up. And with some of these large ones, they get into these, clusters and different ways you can group and congruences and all that stuff. A simple, effective model. If someone's just starting his leading self, leading others, leading the function, and almost any competency you think about can get bucketed in one of those things. And it kind of maps that journey from becoming a high potential to leading a team, to leading, a business unit. So it's, you guys are doing some really sophisticated stuff, and yet you're tying it to this very solid and simple framework, which is great. I'm curious, of course, leadership development is, partly about the performance of the team, of the organization. And another part is usually about engaging your team members, right? For their performance and to keep turnover low, right? So people aren't turning over on you. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing. I mean, do you view your leadership development as the tool to drive engagement up, or are there other things? And how are you measuring, or are you measuring engagement at this time?
That's a great and complicated question. So I'll do my best to kind of tackle into pieces. So the Success Makers program I outlined there was, one of two specific leadership development programs. That program is for our non-executives. We also run similar in structure, but a different level of education for our executives called Vision Makers. And yes, we do look to those programs to help us identify, develop, and retain key staff, right? That's certainly part of our intention there. We track all the metrics associated with both of those groups, including retention and promotion and diversity. So we do pay attention to those groups with intention. The other things that we really do around engagement is we have a very much a local consulting model. We try not to travel more than 20% of our consultants on an annual basis. And North Highland was built on that model. And so the local office experience is really important to us and for our culture. And so we have what we call a people experience lead, typically an executive that's located in an office, who really is the champion for that office, who helps connect the people to change, helps connect us, if we're sitting in the corporate office, if you will, helps us, connects us to what's going on, creates a local experience, holds their fourth Friday or their weekly happy hour or their monthly whatever. Each office is a little bit different. And they have a budget and they work together collaboratively. So they have a monthly meeting where they come and share best practices and talk about things that are really working for them. And it allows us to keep the personality of each office consistent and meaningful for that location. You know, you can imagine that Portland is a little bit different than Atlanta.
Right.
We don't want to lose that, and begins to create us as a one culture too around all of North Highland. So the people experience lead do an amazing job helping drive that. We do track engagement. We have an engagement partner in Peakon, who is a really great self-service model. So the manager gets their feedback, they get the analyzed version of their feedback, they get sorted for comments, they get sorted for suggestions and themes that pop out for each one of the segments. And we track that, we track it and actually report it to our employees and our board on an annual basis, but we do 4 surveys a year. We have essentially a handful of questions that we ask each question twice throughout the year, so we're getting input on 50 drivers, if you will, at least twice a year on key things that we know drive our engagement.
That's great. Yeah, a lot of people ask about, it does seem to be that there's been this movement to more like pulse surveys quarterly, and people wonder about, well, if it's the same questions over and over, won't people stop kind of responding? So you've mixed it up so that they're not following every 90 days the exact same item set.
Exactly. And it keeps the survey short and simple, and it's super mobile enabled. You really shouldn't take you more than 10 minutes to fill it out. For us, we had really high participation rates this last round that just closed. We were well into the 80s for participation rates. That makes us feel pretty great. We've come through a change. This firm has come through a change over the last couple of years. And so we were happy to see it beginning a shift in our engagement in the way that we wanted it to. And we will continue to track that. It's very important to us. And we share it. We're super transparent with our people about where our scores are and what that means. And then we create work initiatives out of it. And I say it does not sit solely on the shoulders of the people function or HR. We certainly help facilitate it, but so much of what we learn needs to come from our managers or our capability leaders or our most senior leaders. And so we help facilitate action, and everybody owns engagement here at North Highland. It's not something that's owned by a particular group. We just happen to be the facilitators of it.
That's great. I think most people have learned the value of that transparency when it comes to engagement, but I still sometimes will do these kinds of interviews and they'll say, oh, well, we get the scores back, and then head of HR and CEO huddle up and review them and talk about what should be done. And they never get pushed back out to the managers. And I just cringe. I'm like, no, that's not how you're going to change the scores at all.
Yeah, we actually ran through a training for each one of our managers as the survey closed, and told them where they could find their particular reports and where they could find their themes. And in partnership with our HR business partners, they're really encouraged to charge out and engage their teams on what it means and what they need to do about it. Again, engagement should be owned by all of us.
That sounds great. Kimberly, it sounds like you have an extremely robust and complete leadership development right through engagement, several programs in place. What do you think, like when you think about the future or the year ahead, like where, what are the areas that you're looking to get better at or to begin to experiment in?
That's a great question. I think the environment that we're in, I would love to see us experiment with or explore what it means to do, to have people bring their own curriculum to the corporate university. So we've got amazing, industry recognized experts on some of the places right. of some of our capabilities. So what does it mean to let them self-post in the learning in the corporate university or bring lessons forward? And we help facilitate that, but I think we could be a little bit more innovative or a little bit more agile with it. I think we still probably have work to what we can be doing just with advancing our leadership development programs. They're only 2 years old, so we're still learning as each group wraps. We're learning a little bit from that group and making sure that we advance it. I always think about if I'm training the leaders for their competencies today, I'm already too late. So we have to be looking downstream as we think about leadership development and what our firm is going to need in 3 years and 5 years and 7 years, and making sure that we're bringing those. So as the firm shifts, as the market shifts, as the employment market shifts, we'll need to bring different aspects into those leadership development programs. So while there's some things that are consistent, self, others, firm, we also need to make sure we're thinking about the future and what we need to do. Really trying to get our arms around some mid-level succession planning. So who is going to be our next mid-level leadership group? We've done a lot of work in the last 2 years on our most senior managers, our most senior, our C-suite and so on, but what's going to be next after that and how do we start to build succession benches? And then the other thing we're really trying to wrap our arms around is what does total rewards mean to people? Mm. How can we create meaningful experiences and meaningful total rewards for people beyond compensation? Everybody thinks they should and could get paid more, but that's not why they leave or stay often. Often there's other reasons why they leave or stay. And so what can we do to differentiate the experience at North Highland so people want to come here and stay here? And that includes engagement, that includes all of our talent management offerings, but it also includes our environments and our culture, but it also includes like what is a meaningful reward, what is recognition, what is important to the population at North Highland.
I would think that minimal travel policy, the local client, local consultant would attract quite a few consultants.
It certainly does.
You're going to spike some job applications after this goes out, I think.
That's great. We have openings. We'd love to hear from you.
So here's my final question. You talked about your own leadership development program, being a couple years old. I talked to quite a few of these folks, but I was literally just a few days ago talking to someone who he's a new hire himself, director of leadership development at a technology company, has about 300 people managers in the organization. They've got no leadership management training program in place at all. And, he was acknowledging that, he has a huge vision of what this, all these things you just mentioned. And yet, the mandate is, look, let's get the first group of new managers into something in 3 months, let's say, or 4 months. I mean, what advice would you have for someone like that? You're building leadership development, management training, leadership development from scratch. It will grow and get better over time. But like, what are the fundamental building blocks? What would you, from your own experience, like what's going to work? What's maybe not going to work?
I think the first thing you have to do, which shouldn't take that long, is really get a clear definition of what leadership means for your company. That's going to be a little bit different, although not startling different from company to company, but what does leadership mean? And then do a quick analysis of where the low-hanging fruit is around that. So what is the thing that we're missing to get us there that I know that I can stand up pretty quickly? So for us, it was coaching training. So the first thing we stood up within months of starting a program was the Inside Out coaching model and getting that training rolling out. And that got us out there learning, talking to, learning from our client, if you will, which is the consultant of North Highland, which gave us the opportunity to learn more, which helped us build a better, more rounded or robust program as we began to build into the leadership development program. So find your low-hanging fruit. Don't overcomplicate it. Keep it simple and get out there. Anything that you overcomplicate is just going to fall flat because it's too hard to learn, right? You have to keep it simple and usable, and then progress from there. But the quicker you can get something out, the quicker you can learn from the people, and you can identify bigger, more important, or longer term gaps that you can fill with, you know, with your leadership development vision, if you will. But you got to get out there. You can't get into analysis paralysis.
I love that. Keep it simple. Always the best way when starting out. Kimberly, yeah. Thank you so much for the gift of the time and the advice and wisdom. You're obviously helping a lot of your peers out there, sharing, you know, what you've learned so far. And through them, you'll be helping to create a lot of new leaders. So thanks for that.
No, thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
Great. Friends, if you like this episode of the LeadX Leadership Podcast, please take a minute, leave a rating on iTunes or Stitcher. Ratings are invaluable for attracting new listeners. And I like to convert those listeners into leaders because, you know, I'm on a mission to spark 100 million leaders in the next 10 years. And if you want to become the boss everyone fights to work for and nobody wants to leave, check out the LeadX platform with Coach Amanda at leadx.org. And if you have 10 or more managers who could use some binge-worthy training, send me an email at info@leadx.org, leadx.org, and we'll talk about getting you set up with a totally free pilot for those managers. See if they like it. If they don't, that's fine. We go away. Part as friends. But if they love it, you've just found yourself a new resource for them. Remember, leadership is influence. You're always leading. How are you going to lead today?